Biden administration's goal for the State of the Union speech was to reset the 2024 campaign. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer breaks it all down, along with government funding to keep the doors open. And what about the state of the 118th Congress? Well, Gallup reports immigration surges to the top of the most important problem list for Americans. Former immigration judge and CIS resident fellow Andrew Arthur tells us the state of immigration and the latest on the secret migrant flights and record numbers from the Biden administration. And media outlets proclaim the White House got the contrast it wanted. As a matter of strategy, it's hard to imagine how the State of the Union could have gone much better for Biden. Did Joe Biden reset the 2024 campaign? Edward Hoglund, Dr. Marilyn Singleton, and Ilana Friedman join me for a fiery roundtable on the real state of our union. Viewpoint this Sunday is next.
Time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news, providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the Weekend News Magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. It is Malcolm Out Loud here. It was a State of the Union that I don't think any of us had ever seen before. It was quite different. And that's from both perspectives, the left and the right. The expectations and the bar, much of the media proclaimed, were pretty low. So they just needed this president, number 46, to stand and deliver through the teleprompter without having a real catastrophe. That could have been a series of anything. Could have been what we've seen coming from Biden in recent times. Could have been a bumble, could have been a complete misquote. He could have went stared into the open air. He could have fallen over. Many things we've seen from this president. That was really the expectation. It's very strange setup indeed. But that's what people were looking for. The poll numbers have been devastating for the administration. They knew that this was going to be a battle royale, and it was all there. And this was called kind of a reset. Could the president reset? Very strange State of the Union. It ended up being a speech like you would get at the DNC, a campaign speech. There was nothing unifying about this State of the Union whatsoever. It's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of fact. And we see that with all the media reports and everything else, friends. We'll start the broadcast right up front here with a couple of people I have great, great respect for, best in class. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joins me. And Tony is the president of Project Sentinel. He is a CIA-trained intelligence operations officer, 35 years experience, global national security, well-known throughout the country on a lot of broadcasts and what have you. He hosts The Hard Truth with Tony Schaefer by chance, 11 a.m., place after Viewpoint on Saturday, Sunday on the network here. Tony, when I think of great political minds, you come to mind fairly quick. Thank you for joining us on Viewpoint, sir.
Well, thank you. It's always great to join you, Malcolm. And I just want to ask you, when do you plan on coughing up that 21% corporate tax that Joe Biden wants from you? You better get ready. You better get on that right away.
Yeah, they keep going up and up and up. They're bleeding people, Tony. They're bleeding
people. That's part of the plan. Part of the plan.
It really is. It's so sad and sadistic. The people who are successful and working their tails off are just paying for all this nonsense that they're doing. It's more than unsettling. Don't get me fired up. I haven't even started, Tony, and you've got me. Come on now, come on. All right, let's go right here. Let me ask you right out of the gate before I get to some other real interesting things. All right, just give me your honest summation of the State of the Union speech, please.
Well, it was a train wreck. I can't find any credible outlet that actually scores this speech as anything but completely political, a rehash of everything he said over the past 3 years. and contributed nothing to the greater discussion of what's good for the country. It was a train wreck. And so what's interesting is that I've seen virtually no scoring on it. Usually you have people coming out, and even in the Wall Street Journal or the main, it's like, oh, you know, this was, you know, 5 to 10, you know, 5 of 10 or 7 of 10. Nobody does that. Essentially, as you correctly framed it, it was what I would consider a sign of life discussion, is a speech. Like, he's alive, mm-hmm. and he can speak kind of well, mostly for an hour. And yet he had tons of gaffes, which, by the way, you know, conservative media is picking up on, but most people ignore. So it was one of my favorite quotes early on. So he can't say he was tired. It was when he attacked the folks regarding the 6th of January. And this is the quote. I love this quote.
What is it?
Quote, "The threat of democracy must be defended," unquote. What the hell does that mean? What the hell does that even mean? And I'm serious. I mean, it's like, how does anyone take this man seriously when he can't even put together a coherent statement of what do you really mean, Joe?
A CNN headline goes like this: "Why it will be tough for Biden to beat Trump." Okay, interesting. So I read this here, Tony. Yeah. And it says this: "Unlike in 2020, when he was favored over Trump for the entirety of the campaign, Biden faces a rougher road this time around. Indeed, he has no better than a 50-50 shot for re-election."
Yeah.
And fans of the current president should be aware that Trump has a real chance at retaking the White House. Now, they get into the polls, and of course, we see the polls. We've seen them for quite some time, actually. But this president has been very challenged to speak and to stand on his feet. That has taken its toll with Democrats, Republicans, Independents, anybody who's got a brain who can see what's going on. And all the surveys show he is fallen. He's at a record low. We've never had numbers this low that have been tracked from a president. And they wrap up this way, Tony. In the 2020 race, the states that put Biden over the top in the Electoral College, listen to this: Arizona, Georgia, and Washington were each decided by less than a point. Okay.
Yep.
He had very little margin for error. Now, Biden's trailing by 5 points or more in the most recent polling from Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and no Democratic presidential candidate has lost Nevada since 2004. This speech was what they call a reset, to try to reset the campaign. Did they succeed or did they fail?
Oh, clearly they failed based on the simple existence of that headline from CNN. They would have been glowing and they would have been singing in glowing terms, Malcolm, at work, because they would anticipate a bump. Let me go on a record here. There's not going to be a bump from this. As a matter of fact, I think you're going to see his record low approval rates continue. I mean,
hold on. You're saying, no, this is important. You're saying you don't see any bump from this at all.
I don't.
You see a continuing deal. I haven't heard that. Okay.
I don't know. I don't see a bump because the people he has to convince are not his party. It's the independents who generally say, oh, I see the light. No, I don't think there's any light to see here, except maybe the burning of I don't even say what I was going to say on the air. But I mean, he's clearly not, he did not reach across the aisle, nor do I think the unhinged, angry talk of a man who basically proposes that we make Ukraine the 51st state of the union, something that independents are going to dig. I just don't see it. The other thing too, remember this, he did not actually do much other than propose this wacky doc thing. He's trying to stop the bleeding of his own party because he's got 19% in Minnesota and something like 14 or 15% in Michigan, who are saying, yeah, we're not digging. This is the most extreme elements of his party. By the way, those who blocked his path from the White House to the actual Congress as well. Yeah. And by the way, that was largely ignored by the media.
So. Well, you know, the contrast, one footnote here, just for people to remember this, the contrast of his inaugural address, he talked nothing more than it was unity, because Trump was the divider in chief and all of that.
Right.
If you compare and contrast that speech right now, and you ran just a few minutes of that unity speech compared to this State of the Union speech right here coming up on the 2024 election, it is unbelievable, the tale of those two conversations. I mean, there was nothing unifying about that speech. Right. Let me get to government funding here. I want to ask you this. The Senate cleared this six-bill funding extravaganza, if you will, just on Friday night here. Senate, it's about $460 billion rounded up here, measured to President Biden to stop the government from shutting down at midnight, so on and so forth. Okay. Yep. Congress faces another shutdown on March 22nd. This is for the military, many non-defense programs funded under the rest of this dozen or so spending bills. So it's a very complex situation they're trying to do here. So here's what I want to ask you. We talked about the State of the Union. A straightforward, honest question I'm asking you here. I want to get your opinion before I jump into some other things. The state of the 118th Congress. Here's what I'm asking. The 118th Congress ran on investigating the Biden family and stopping the insane spending. No CRs. They kept saying they want a real budget. So my question is, what have they accomplished and how would you rate them?
Well, very little, even with Speaker Johnson, who I think has done a better job than others. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give him about a 3.5, 4, because the one thing you and I both know that they're not cutting out surgically with great political will, the woke policies, the green energy deal issues, these things are all still embedded in there.
Yeah.
And as I've said publicly here on your show and other interviews, until you start defunding these government bureaucracies, which are committed to the left wing, you're not going to see any substantive change. You're just not. And I'm very disappointed. I saw Mike Lee, Senator Lee, tweet on this morning saying, you know, he and others, and I do believe him, that he and others are trying to put an end to this. But, you know, you've got essentially rhinos still in place who are willing to go along with this completely horrific allowance of bad policies to continue to be funded by the government.
So my question is, are they in danger or risk of the House in 2024? Yes or no?
No, the House. No, the House is, I think, going to be retained by the Republicans.
Stay right there, Tony. I want to get on to another topic, the police and immigration. I want to bring on here Andrew Art Arthur, one of my favorites here. He's a former immigration judge. He's now the resident fellow in law and policy for the Center for Immigration Studies. There's about nothing he hasn't done when it comes to immigration. And of course, CIS is best in class with immigration, Washington, D.C., a research institute. Love those folks. This is interesting. Biden hasn't just opened the border. He's secretly flying migrants in en masse. Now, we started hearing these headlines not too long ago, mostly widely ignored. Many people said it was a conspiracy, what have you. There was a lawsuit filed by the Center for Immigration Studies, which was to uncover the details of Biden's abuse of humanitarian parole for otherwise inadmissible migrants to fly into the country, but they won't reveal where they landed. And we're talking about 320,000 migrants flown into 43 airports across the United States. Is this an accurate story? Is this a true story? What's behind this story?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely an accurate story. And let me just go back to January the 5th. The White House actually put out a press release that indicated that it was going to be doing this. It was offering 30,000 paroles, not visas, Malcolm, paroles per month to nationals of Venezuela, Nicaragua, Haiti, and Cuba, the VHNC parole program that would allow them to come into the United States for two-year periods of parole. And the reason that it's those four nationalities is because two reasons. One, a disproportionate number of nationals of those four countries have entered the United States illegally over the last 3 years. And two, it's very difficult for us to get travel documents to deport nationals of those four countries because we have bad diplomatic relations with Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba. And Haiti is basically, you know, in its constant state of disorder. So that was the whole idea behind this. Basically, it was to buy off would-be illegal entrants by giving them two-year periods of parole. Of course, the biggest issue with this is you know, we're never going to be able to remove these people after that two-year period, regardless of who the president is, because we can't get travel documents to send these people back. So that was the basis of this. So, you know, 30,000 people a month, 360,000 people a year. But in order to take advantage of this, you just have to be a national of one of those four countries. You don't have to be living in any of those four countries. And we know that there's a diaspora of about 6 million Venezuelans who have left Venezuela and they live in Cuba and Chile, Brazil, countries like that, Colombia. Anyway, so we don't know. We asked, you know, about the entries of these people. We know that they flew into 43 airports in the United States, but Malcolm, they won't tell us which 43 airports they right. flew into. And for what it's worth, they won't tell us where they're coming from. They may all be coming from Sao Paulo, Brazil. None of them need to be coming from any of these countries, but in any event, so yeah, and the reason that they won't tell us the country, the airports they're flying into is they say bad actors may exploit this system, which raises, you know, two questions.
So CIS is really trying to get to, that's part of the suit, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah.
You know, we know that this program's going on, but honestly, most yeah. Americans don't. When you talk about 360,000 exactly. people, exactly. and by the way, none of them have any right to be in the United yeah. States. They wouldn't need parole if they could get visas.
Yeah. yeah, yeah
so,
yeah.
you know, this is just a huge boon to, you know, those who want to exploit yeah. cheap labor.
This Senate Border Act, which is really the money he's looking for, is to process more people into the country. We get that. That was a big conversation of the State of the Union, and which he didn't get to for sometimes like 40 some odd minutes into it. But this president clearly is that was a gift. He was trying to use this Senate Border Act of 2024 that he says this, Art. And I want you to clear this up for listeners to understand. He says it would be the toughest and fiercest set of reforms to secure the border we've had in our country. Now, this is the quote from Biden. Now, he says, now I want you to, again, to either confirm this or debunk this. He then says it would give me, as president, a new emergency authority to shut down the border when it becomes overwhelmed. And if given that authority, I would use it the day I signed the bill into law. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Would you please talk about those 2 points?
Sure, absolutely. First, this is not the toughest border security bill, you know, ever. In fact, it actually weakens border security. It gives DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, a man who's been impeached by the House, unfettered authority to release into the United States any alien that he wants. Keep in mind, Malcolm, aliens who show up at the port of entry who aren't admissible to the United States for whatever reason have been subject to detention, mandatory detention, since 1903. And those who enter illegally have been subject to mandatory detention since 1996. So basically, this bill would undo 121 years of law that mandates wow. the detention of people that enter illegally. So that's the first point. The second point is that it does indeed contain a authority for the president to cut off the entry of anybody who comes to the United States once it reaches 4,000 per day, and that cutoff becomes mandatory once it reaches 5,000 per day.
Mm-hmm, right.
To put that into perspective, during the Obama and Trump administrations, I'm not talking about, you know, Donald Trump, I'm talking about Barack Obama. Right. During the Barack Obama administration, we got fewer than 2,000 people coming to the United States border on average per day. Right. So this would basically yeah. enshrine in law the sort of border disaster.
Two and a half times that number for the last three years.
And it's one of those D.C. problems, yeah. Malcolm. And I yeah. spent 8 years on Capitol Hill yeah. that, you know, people in Washington like big round numbers, and 5,000 just seems right. It should be, you know, make it 1,000. Once it's 1,000 per day, which is the number that.
How about we make it zero? Can we do that, please?
Well, and honestly, Malcolm, it does provide a little bit more money for detention. You know, I will give it that. But the yeah. problem is that the Biden administration has refused to use the detention beds that it has already.
Well, they created the problems. And now, like government always does, Art, now then try to fix the problem. But this is a problem they created from day one. They wanted the problem. Everybody knows this. And now these people are, and they changed the entire script, turn it on its head, and really the sad part about this, Art, is they baffle a fair amount of the nation. They actually fall for this crap and think that it's legit, which brings me to the point of this. Gallup reports immigration surges to the top of the most important problem list. Now, that's not common. It's very rare when immigration will surpass the economy and other things that are vitally important to folks. That's how bad it is. Most see illegal immigration as a critical U.S. threat in the numbers, both Democrats and Republicans. Not a surprise at this point, Art. Is that what you're seeing as well? All numbers indicate that?
Yeah, and let me tell you a little story real quick. On Thursday, I went to Washington. I appeared before the House Judiciary Committee, the Immigration Subcommittee, to talk about the president's powers. Mm-hmm. The Democrats on that panel acted mm-hmm. as if none of this was a problem at all. They're completely out exactly. of touch exactly. with that 28% of Americans for whom immigration is the biggest issue going into the election. But there's another part of that poll that you really need to touch on. 55% of those who were polled by Gallup said that illegal immigration is a critical threat to the United States over the next decade. Right. That is the highest level that question has ever polled on Gallup going back to 2004. Wow. 2004 was less than 3 years after September 11th. Yeah. So the American people right now view this as being a critical threat.
But the second thing in that poll was Americans most likely to say, what do you think is the most important problem facing this country today? And the second thing of that poll, which it just is government. Government. Yeah. Government is the second that Americans say, yeah, that's the biggest problem. Oh, man, you can't. I mean, like, wow. You know, it's even before the economy, inflation, everything else. Is that crazy or what?
Well, the government's causing it. I mean, as correctly identified, you have a series of policies which have essentially diminished the security of the United States, at the same time essentially making those of us who disagree with the direction political enemies. Think about that. I mean, it's like one of the largest flaws in Joe Biden's thinking. I'm not sure if it was a flaw, but it was a result, mm-hmm. is that our enemies now see opportunities to essentially move on the United States in ways I don't think they would have necessarily anticipated they could do so. By the fact Joe Biden said half the United States is his enemy. Think about that. No president has ever done
that. Oh, that's right. That's right. That was his unifying call, by the way.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, hell, what the hell is his ununifying call? I don't even begin to know. But, you know, let me ask you now. We only got a few moments here, and I just want to squeeze a couple things in here. This floating pier over in I've got to ask you here. So construction on this thing will take up to a couple of months. It will require over 1,000 troops who remain offshore, they say, of course. So they're going to just put their feet in the water and build it from the ship, but they're going to stay offshore. No harm could ever come to this, of course, because these are friendly people, naturally, the terrorists out there. But what do you make of this project? I mean, it seems insane.
Well, we've done this before. I mean, during the D-Day invasion, we built something called the Mulberry. But let me point out to the audience, that took like a year. And it was designed for a specific purpose to be dropped in when we were trying to do an invasion, and it was successful. This thing's going to be over with Hamas in less than 6 months. And so I'm just scratching my head here. You know, my friend in crime, and we're always on together, a Brigadier General retired, Blaine Holt, we're scratching our head on this because, first off, to your point, Malcolm, there's no way in heck you're going to have this thing successfully deployed if you don't have people on the beach bringing it in. We just saw the death. Keep this in mind. We just saw the death of innocent Palestinians because an airdrop went wrong because, we weren't supervising it.
Yep.
So it's just insane that you have these wacky, politically based, but factually unsustainable or achievable concepts that are done, and I'll say it again, for purposes of domestic political consumption. This is meant to do a pushback against those who hate Biden because he's not, quote unquote, doing enough to help the Palestinian people. This is the ultimate military virtue signal.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, these projects they take on and these pet projects and all for their political ease. They're losing the far left, obviously, of their camp there, the far left supporters of terrorism, basically. And this is their way to placate that, I guess, whatever the case is. I mean, everything is everything they do is strategic. There's a reason they do this stuff, and it's all called the vote. They are buying votes every chance they can and any way they deliver to stay in power. It's all about staying in power. All right. Immigration is probably going to stay the number one issue. Art, would you agree with that? Is immigration going to stay number one between now and November, or do you see something else? I mean, does it get any better, or is this it?
It doesn't get any better. And in fact, it's interesting. Jim Taranto coined something called the Taranto effect, in which he explained that Democratic politicians are generally at a disadvantage because a largely liberal press doesn't really vet them before the election. And, you know, people are surprised to find out, you know, some of the more, you know, outre positions that they take. The same thing has happened with immigration. The press has largely kept a lid on what's been going on at the southwest border for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. The impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas, the Senate border bill, and a number at a, you know, some high profile migrant crimes have really brought this to the public attention. The press can't duck it anymore. And now the American people are finding out what's going on at the border and they can't believe it. Their heads are exploding.
Well, especially when they're killing our citizens and those stories become very public, you know, and then the rape and the molestations and right, Art, I mean, all this stuff, you know, and I don't think we're seeing that. We're going to see a lot more of that. Don't you think, Art?
Yeah, no, we will, because every one of those, you know, isolated stories is going to become part of the national consciousness.
Exactly. That's what's happening right now, Art, to your point. Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. We've got to follow this closely. Real fast, quick question. Tony, I got to ask you, what do you put the odds on if you're out in Vegas and you're going to put a bet right now with Trump getting, now we see how the tea leaves are falling with the Supreme Court, the role in the ballots, all the things we're seeing, Jack Smith, blah, blah, blah. What do you put the odds on that Trump actually makes it into the Oval Office?
Well, I make it 90% for him to be on the ticket and run against Biden. And I'd say the odds are, I think, 75% that he's going to win. I think the odds are really, really good. I can't give it 100% because I don't trust the Democrats. I don't trust extreme.
Well, that's exactly it. There's
so
even talk.
That's the issue.
People are really worried about his life. They're worried about them going to that.
Precisely.
Precisely. Art, do you agree with that 75-25 or you have a different percentage real fast?
Yeah, I have a different percentage. I, you know, put it at a 50-50 chance because we don't know what's going to happen in the next few months if Donald Trump is convicted. Right. And by the way, of course, we're a nonpartisan agency, but or NGO or think tank. But the I'd put it about 50-50. It all depends on who shows up to vote. But I think Donald Trump, to the colonel's point, is going to turn out a lot of people who don't normally vote because they're angry and they're very concerned.
Well, everybody should be concerned at this point. The country is in dire straits here. Tremendous thank you, both of you. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, always a privilege to have you, sir. And Arthur Andrew, you are just terrific voices for freedom. Thank you both.
Thanks, Malcolm. And let me get back to my tapioca so I feel like Joe Biden. Thank you.
You got it, brother. You got it. All right, friends. It's all back at AmericaOutloud.news. Get back and share the out loud truth. We're doing some tremendous things back there and appreciate your help getting that out there. All right. We got a fiery roundtable coming up next year. Stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back to Viewpoint this Sunday. And as always, my fellow Americans, thank you for joining us on the mission here. Please help us share the Out Loud truth back at AmericaOutLoud.news. Also, I want to tell you right up front here before we get into this amazing conversation we're going to have in just moments here, but AmericaOutLoud.shop, this is best in class, and that's by design, absolutely by design. And there are great products in there from amazing companies. Always do your own research. We ask all these companies in the web links to put their research data and studies in there. Never take anybody's word as the answer for it. You always want to check things yourself and not just listen to someone on air talk about it. Now, I've been taking this new product we have called HealRight, H-E-A-L, right. I love it. I took it for about 6 weeks before we agreed to have them on as a partner here, as one of our sponsored partners. And basically, this is really the high blood sugar, chronic inflammation, high cholesterol, overweight. These are all the kinds of things we're talking about fighting here. And it's these micronutrient bars, if you will. They are fantastic and they taste great. I like the chocolate pomegranate, the lemon blueberry one. The apple fig is really good. There's a peanut butter one as well, but I like some of the others even better, the taste. And of course, everyone's got their unique taste, of course. But this product is incredible, the two little bars. And you take those anytime you want. I mean, you can have them in the morning, have them in the afternoon, evening, whatever. It's not a dietary thing. It's not that kind of thing. In fact, they have a quiz on here. You can get your metabolic score on the website. Just go to AmericaOutLoud.shop, go through there, get to HealRight, check it out. I love this product. My kids like it too, the college kids. They're eating it as well, by the way. They love it. You, by the way, 20% off using the code OUTLOUD. Any product in the shop, use the code OUTLOUD, and you'll get that discount there. Okay, let's now talk about this State of the Union. And this was a 66-minute long speech. This was really a campaign speech. It sounded like it was at the DNC, if you will. It did not sound like a unifying State of the Union. As I said up front of the broadcast, if you played his inaugural address where he talked about unifying because the madman Trump was a divider, just play the State of the Union speech and see what you got and see what shines out to you. This was the most dividing speech I think most people have ever heard. And it was attacking the opposite side, of course. There were three things that were highlighted up top of the speech. There was the Ukraine and America's role in the world, like pulling out of Afghanistan and having people fall off planes, that sort of thing. Yeah. Wars in the Middle East, beautiful peace and tranquility through the world. That sort of objective. Yeah, you bet. And the second thing, the January 6th insurrection and ongoing threats to democracy, you know, that bad insurrection that they charged Trump with and that he was, you know, incarcerated for, naturally. All of this is just sarcasm, of course, people, because it's all crazy stuff. And reproductive freedom and access, because America likes nothing better than to murder people. We love it nothing more than to murder young children. It's just it's an American thing. You know, what can I tell you here, people? Wow. You cannot make this stuff up at all. I have to tell you here. Okay. On the group here, on our roundtable here, Edward Hoglund is here. He's a retired federal senior executive, United States Air Force veteran. Ed has worked in the intelligence community since he was 3 or 4 years old, I think. It's been a long time. In the Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Energy and State. Dr. Marilyn Singleton is here, one of my favorites. I love listening to her on America Out Loud Pulse. She is the host of the Monday edition, and just love her. She's great. Board certified anesthesiologist, past president of the Association of AAPS, American Physician Surgeon Association. Ilana Friedman, veteran intelligence analyst, advisor, and intelligence-led counterterrorism solutions. Phenomenal writer, great voice. She's been with me for many years. Love Ilana. The question I start with here, and I want to go to you, Marilyn, first. I want to put you right on the hot spot here. And the question is very much, their goal was to reset the 2024 campaign. A sincere point here. That was their goal because the polls were so bad and the campaign was, you know, faltering badly, the president, the administration. And of course, immigration is the number one problem in the country. And government's the second problem, Gallup says, if you can believe that. They've surpassed the economy and inflation, which is remarkable. I agree with both of those things, by the way. The question I ask you to start with here is, did Joe Biden succeed in resetting the 2024 campaign, do you think?
I think he probably succeeded for about, 10 hours with people who already supported him. The whole point of getting him out there and hyped up on, I don't know what, whether it was coffee, drugs, whatever, he was talking a mile a minute. He still looked terrible. After the HER report called him a frail old man with a bad memory, they had to come out and say, hey, look at him. He's just on fire. Wow. He just sounded like an old coot. That's all he said.
Well, you know, here's what's striking about it is the striking difference between the two. You see the speech there, Marilyn, here, where he's, like you say, acting like a raving maniac. And then you see Trump, Super Tuesday, very quiet, very docile, very deliberate, very careful with his words. And yet the striking difference between these two is unbelievable, remarkable, because here's the point. Which one of these candidates does the media suggest as unhinged?
Ha ha ha. Of course it's Donald Trump. But I think more and more it's showing whatever they say is the exact opposite, and how anyone could deny that something is seriously wrong with Joe Biden. They're fooling themselves. And I think in their hearts, people know Biden is not running this country. There's someone else. He's a puppet. And a poor puppet at that. Yeah. And the only reason he's still president is Kamala Harris is such a bozo.
Right, right. Do you think those reports of aliens or UFOs are maybe running the country, Marilyn? Just wondering.
I don't know. Obama could be an alien.
Everybody thinks Obama. All right, let me ask you this now. As a professional in healthcare, as a doc, I want to ask you, the look of him compared to all the other times we've seen him in the days and weeks prior to this, falling down, not able to have a sentence even, I mean, really difficult things. Nothing I would wish on anybody, by the way. I don't support any, I don't think that it's a late night joke, dementia and Alzheimer's. I think it's a sad state of affairs in America that this is any kind of a joke. I think it's sad. And I think we need to have, I'd like to see some answers from that with the healthcare to solve these problems, frankly. And I've said that often. I remember when Ronald Reagan got it after he left office, I felt horrible that in the golden years, you can't even, you know, honor those or celebrate them in any way. This was a different Joe Biden. They clearly have him on something. I mean, something was different. What were the possibilities that they might have? Did they give him? I don't know. Did he maybe have some of Hunter's crack? Is that possible?
Well, you know, I wish I knew. I'm not a neurologist. There's a lot of drugs out there, but it's pretty dicey trying to give an old person drugs. You know, one of the big things we're working on now is de-drugging older people because there's so many interactions. And I just don't know how you could predict how he would respond. And who knows, all the yelling might have been way over what whoever is managing him and taking care of him and the doctor who they've coerced to give something to him, I think it was over the top. It did not turn him into a normal human being.
Hey, let me lay that over this point here. The accusations are that Trump is not presidential. Did that look presidential there? I mean, Trump's the one that doesn't look presidential, and yet he looked like a raving maniac up there, many would say. Let me, Marilyn, stay there. Let me get over to Ed Hoglund here. And Ed, this point of the delivery, you've seen a lot of State of the Unions. You've worked very closely with D.C., with presidents, with administrations. You've seen this parade. How would you rate this State of the Union, please?
No, I've not seen something like this ever before. It was divisive, it was hateful, and it was evil. And in terms of rating this as a State of the Union, it was more like a purposeful attack in setting the narrative, I think, for the left as to what their narrative will be for the next several months during the election.
Yeah. Safe to say, Ed, they're going to try to pull out all the stops, I would imagine, because the polls, we've never had polls this low for a president. I mean, they just can't succeed when they're down in the 30s, I mean, let alone the 40s. How do you see this campaign, the Biden campaign, from the State of the Union forward, playing it out? You have any predictions?
Well, so I think part of what I just mentioned is the narrative. Their focus is, you know, and so the polls, let me go back to the polls for a second. Yeah. Very concerning here. Even though 70% of Americans disagree with the country's heading, the polls between Biden and Trump are very narrow. Okay. That doesn't bode well. Biden's speech also. What does he know that we don't know? Why was he so divisive and hateful and just throwing bones to his to the constituents? Right. So I think their track over the next several months here is to drive this type of narrative. And of course, conservatives tend to then follow the narrative and just react. And that's the big problem here. We don't have our own narrative. We haven't seized it. Trump hasn't laid out what his policies are, and he hasn't laid out the basic difference between what you have seen the last 4 years evil versus the good that he's done in his 4 years.
You know, to your point there a moment, let me add on to what you say, Ed. Politico said, to your point, over and over, Joe Biden laid the bait for Republicans, which is what you kind of just said. Over and over, they chomped on it, whether the topic was taxing billionaires or border security provisions in the bipartisan package the House GOP rejected. So I guess what I want to ask you straight out is this. Are Democrats, the left, more clever and devious than Republicans on the right? Why do they seem to be a little more clever on the left? Maybe devious, you can do what you want with that word. But
well, devious, definitely indeed devious, I think. And he succeeded, I think, in his speech. He succeeded in doing what he wanted to do. He laid out that mantra. Mm-hmm. You know, the Republicans and conservatives and independents have never figured it out in the last six decades that this is not basic politics. This is a blood sport for absolute power. And with that, they just tend to react. Okay. And if all you're doing is reaction, you know, driving the narrative, then you're going to lose. Okay. It doesn't matter. Because what's your message? What's the good point for America? Look at both Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump as they went into their first terms. It was positive. It was proactive. They drove the narrative. Right now, who's driving the narrative? It's the left, the lamestream media, the socialist media.
You know, you're so astute to pick these points up. And I want to say to you, from what I've seen, Ed, in a lot of the media reports and media outlets, they say the White House got the contrast it wanted. In other words, this is what they wanted, and they're thrilled to have that contrast. As a matter of strategy, it's hard to imagine how the State of the Union could have gone much better for Biden. In other words, they're celebrating that. You agree with that?
Well, I think so, because, again, they're now driving the narrative and they know the Republicans, they'll lead them by the nose. And instead of driving the narrative and talking about the great distinctions between the good and evil and believing what people seen over the last 4 years. OK, now what they do, they try to react to every little point he brings up. OK, they're idiots. They have to take a look at the strategic aspects and what's the strategic message and paint the major differences between what Biden's done and what Trump's done. Okay. Everything from inflation to energy to wars, okay, to crime in the streets, to then censorship canceling and using COVID to subjugate. Okay. It's a clear sheet. All they gotta do is talk to the facts and quit trying to figure out how to respond to idiocy.
Ilana, this there was a hot mic moment by chance, and it was showing the growing frustrations that this relationship disparity between Bibi Netanyahu and Joe Biden, the Biden administration, and the left of our politics here. I mean, there's obviously a public persona, then there's a private persona and how they view Israel very clearly. I mean, about everybody knows that. But the hot mic moment was something you could not make up. And they were talking to the Jewish people, the Israeli prime minister, and telling the people that that he was going to have a come to Jesus meeting. You just can't make this stuff up. Do you think that was intentional? They say it's a hot mic moment, but it was so out there a little bit. Do you think that they knew that was happening? Was intentional, or was that just another bumbling moment, you think?
I think it was just another bumbling moment, Malcolm. And we've got a lot of bumbling moments. As far as Israel is concerned, Joe Biden is speaking out of both sides of his mouth, and he on the one hand he's coddling Iran, and on the other hand he's trying to support Israel. But it doesn't make any sense. Malcolm, I have a question that I haven't heard anybody ask about Joe Biden. And I'd like to ask it now. On the night of the Union, State of the Union speech, we saw a man who usually has difficulty putting two parts of a sentence together, who often looks like he's sleepwalking.
Right.
But on the night of the State of the Union, he was so jazzed up.
Right.
He was able to stand there for over an hour and shout out his speech and then spend another 20 minutes or so schmoozing with the Democrats in the audience.
So why is that? Why is that?
What we saw was a miracle. What are we watching here? Are we going to discover that down the road that the president of the United States has been so manipulated by the people behind the curtain?
Right.
Sean Hannity called them a hyper-caffeinated, angry old man, but I think it may be worse. Are we actually watching in real time the president of the United States as a victim of elder abuse, who essentially does what he's told and is rewarded chocolate chip ice cream cones?
Wow. That's my isn't that the ice cream cones? Isn't that funny? You know, I mentioned the UFO thing, and maybe if they're running the program, but do you think that could he be a body? We all the time hear about Vladimir Putin having body doubles. You think he could be a body double?
I think he needs one.
I don't know. I just got to put that out there. It's so insane.
Well, but people in high public places use body doubles, particularly in the more repressive.
Right, but I think Joe is such a screwball. I think it'd be hard to duplicate that. Probably, I don't know. I mean, really though, come on now. Even in his best days as a senator, he was a flipping idiot. I mean, he's never been a very highly intelligent man. No.
No, he's not a smart guy, but he never was. But
a smart ass, but not a smart man.
Look at him now. What are they doing? What did they do to get him up there for almost 2 hours?
Yeah.
Shaking hands.
Well, they promised him a cookie, like you just said, an ice cream cone, probably. Did anybody get that picture afterward, having an ice cream cone? I don't know. Ilana, let me ask you this now about, I want to ask you about this port they're building. What could possibly go wrong with this project off in Gaza here? It's going to take about 1,000 U.S. troops, take a couple of months, they say. Of course, they got lots of money to do these kinds of projects. No people will be on Earth. They're going to have 2 feet in the water off the ship and sort of build it off the edge there. And everything's going to be safe and secure right where the terrorists are looking onward. Anything wrong with that picture by chance?
Everything is wrong with that picture. And the president says we won't have any boots on the ground.
Right.
I mean, the whole scenario is so bizarre.
Yeah.
The idea, first of all, that the president doesn't understand that anything that goes into Gaza is taken over by Hamas. The whole story of helping the people of Gaza is just baloney, because the people of Gaza are beaten, they're robbed, they're killed by Hamas, and they're as much the guinea pigs as the Israelis were.
It's tough. It's tough. I mean, war is ugly business. Let's be clear. Nobody wants war. It's ugly, ugly business. And nobody wishes evil. At least I don't hang with people that wish evil upon people like that here. Do you think come November, looking at the ballot, with all the stakes as they are, and knowing what they just tried to do with the State of the Union and all, the left and the right, Biden and Trump, the reset, do you think those are the two names? Do you think Trump gets there? Or do you think something derails that? What do you think? Anybody?
Both be on the ballot.
You think they're both be on the ballot, Ed? Yeah?
Yes.
And you think Trump makes it through then?
I think Trump makes it through. And I think they'll continue to feign on Biden. But they've kept Weekend at Bernie's alive this long. I think they'll keep him up till November.
Dr. Marilyn Singerlin, do you think that there's a sense and a feeling where people believe that a spark could change the trajectory of this nation? We're really at a very teetering, tottering on the edge here. Is that overstated, or do you subscribe to that thinking that many believe?
No, absolutely not. You know, there's an author who wrote a book called True Believer, Eric Hoffer. And one of the things he says, if you want to change society, first you have to make them miserable, because happy people don't sign on to a revolution. And everything that's been done the last 3 years has been to make us miserable. It's not been to bring us together. And then that stupid immigration thing. I'm from San Diego, so I lived on a border town my whole life and never seen anything that's disgusting. And if in that HR2, they can say, we're going to stop immigrants after 5,000 come in, then why can't you stop it after one comes in? I mean, whoever heard of anything so stupid? And, you know, you talk about that the Republicans have to come out on the offensive. Mm-hmm. Part of their problem is it's the uniparty. Half the Republicans are right. Just like the Democrats, and there's only a handful that are strong and tough, and they try to vilify them, call them names.
Yeah.
And if we don't change that, we are doomed.
What's your prediction, please, if you could give it to me? I mentioned with Trump actually making it into the White House, is it 75, is it 50, is it less in your world?
Well, in California, we have so much cheating and boxes of votes in conservative neighborhoods found thrown away when you've got the unions and the postal clerks on your side. This is what makes me worry. It doesn't matter how popular Trump is. When they didn't fix the vote in 2016 because they assumed there was no way on God's earth he could win, they suddenly said, we've got to do something for the next election. And I think over these last 4 years, as some of these things are coming to light, they're perfecting the means to cheat.
Yeah, well, a lot of that was done under the guise of COVID, with all the ballot harvesting that was legalized at the state level, all these shenanigans and games were played. And of course, we've never been able to stop the graveyards from voting. That is still a problem today, more so. They don't die. They just keep voting and voting and voting there. And that is the problem. And a lot of people are worried about what Marilyn says there in as far as the vote this year. I'm less concerned with I hear that a lot from Republicans. There's a lot of mention too about the stealing and the theft. I don't have that same sense of deep concern. I know a lot of people on our platform do. I just think there's only certain things they can pull away from now. I think people's eyes are wide open to what's going on. I think if they do, it will create that spark. I think there's a better chance they take Trump out and more on more other ways with bodily harm than I do where I think they're going to steal the election against with this hammer scorecard business. What do you think?
Well, so I think you're talking about a spark. I think that's probably correct. My concern here is the reality with the 12 million illegals we've gotten in, the 70,000 plus military aged Chinese men, the illegal bioweapons labs in California, the Chinese police stations, the Summer of Love trial run, and people forgot the boarded up businesses for 2020 should have Trump won, that'd been total anarchy. So my guess is one of two things will happen, is that Biden and the left will push their people to go out and create massive chaos and demonstrations to disrupt, maybe even stop the election.
Wow.
By saying, of course, mass deportation by Trump, and use that to then set fires across the United States. Or two,
wow,
should Trump win as they had planned in 2020, do what they had planned then, is start complete anarchy.
And start to burn the place down, you mean, right then?
Burn the place down and cause complete anarchy. If you remember, it doesn't take every region of the United States for this to occur.
Right.
It could take one small region, declare martial law, and then all of a sudden, all civil and constitutional rights.
Well, Ed, let me ask you, based on what you just say right there, sir, if that was the case, would that not be an opportunity to do what they did to J6 and throw these bastards in jail?
Well, potentially, yes. But remember, when you have that degree of anarchy and if you have that degree of chaos, okay, mm-hmm. you don't have law and order anymore. You've thrown that out the window. And how do most of the left-wing revolutions occur? Mm-hmm. Through such violence, all right? And so the American people aren't prepared for this. And that's where one of the key things I've been pushing for a long time is we need to get more deputized sheriffs and other people. They need to be prepared for massive violence. And they need to be prepared.
But isn't it time to fight fire with fire? Yes or no, Ed?
Yes, it is. But you have to be prepared to do that. We are
understood. Not. All right. Marilyn, Ilana, real fast. We don't have a moment left here. Marilyn, the right always acquiesces to the left. They just do it consistently. Is it time to fight fire with fire?
Absolutely. And we need to get off of this stupid newspeak where they call abortion reproductive rights and we go ahead and call it the same. And there's so many names that they have changed and we've glommed onto it. We need to come out and start telling it like it is.
It's a great point.
Real words.
Yeah, it's a great point. That is a fantastic point, Marilyn, here. Hey, Ilana, again, same thing, same question.
Well, I think, you know, that the right, the conservative part of America, which is probably more than the majority now more than ever, hasn't got to come together and stand strong. And we have got to go back to our roots where we fought for democracy. We fought for the values that our founding fathers so courageously put into our founding documents. And we have got to come together. We have to stop fighting with each other. And
well, but we're a divided nation. I don't see it coming together.
We're all divided as a movement in the United States, and we have to come together if we're going to succeed.
Well, and if they fight for anything, I would prefer they fight for a constitutional republic, to be frank with you. I think this democracy word has been brutalized.
You're right. Sorry.
No, it just has been. They've abused, well, back to Marilyn's point a moment ago, the word language, the word salad here, Ilana, you know. That's what they consistently do.
I agree.
What a great, some great points out of this conversation. A tremendous thank you to each of you. Really have such great respect. Edward Hoagland, Dr. Marilyn Singleton, Ilana Friedman, terrific conversations. Great program again, friends. We bring the goods. We deliver it all here. Please help us get back there and share the out loud truth. AmericaOutLoud.news. It is the rise of independent media to fight back all of this corruption, lies, and distrust in the fourth estate. It is time to restore the greatest generation that Tom Brokaw talked about after World War II and save us from becoming the most screwed up generation in mankind. Please help us in join the fight and get the words out there for liberty and justice for all. And thank you for joining me on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud, America.